It's getting gorgeous outside. You know, for those who do not know, Miss Kay teaches our elementary age children during Sunday school, and Mr. Larry Cortez teaches our youth during Sunday school. We have our adult teachers. On Wednesday night, Danielle and Mario teach our youth, and so we have the positions filled that if you have a child or know of a family that would like to come and have their children involved, we invite you to come. You know, we made the announcement last week that Belinda and her team was going to be starting Children's Church a week from today. Well, things are going so well, we're starting today. How about that? So we're going to go ahead and dismiss the children for Children's Church today. That's just wonderful. Thank you. Look how many there are. Goodness. Goodness. Well, it is good to see you this morning. We do have several families out due to the Myers funeral. They'll be traveling. Please keep them in your prayers. And others who are ill with this nastiness that's going around. And so we just need to be in prayer for families. Well, if you'll stand with me, please, in honor of God's Word, we're in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to open your word. We look to you as our divine teacher this morning to soften our hearts, open our eyes, and unplug our ears. So, Father, we ask you to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me tell you a few interesting facts. Most of you probably know it. Tell you a few interesting facts about water. Roughly 70% of an adult body is made up of water. At birth, water accounts for approximately 80% of an infant's body weight. 400 gallons of water a day or run through our kidneys for recycling. Water makes up 2/3 of the human body and 70% of the brain. And the average life expectancy without water is 3 days, 4 days. Water dissolves more substances than any other liquid. And somewhere between 70 and 75% of the Earth's surface is water. The Earth is a closed system similar to a terranium, meaning that it rarely loses or gains extra matter. The same water that existed on the Earth in Noah's time is still present today. And of all the water on the Earth, humans can only use about 0.3% of the water. And then lastly, as far as water being the most essential element of life, we know that we absolutely cannot do without it, because without it we can't make coffee. So we know how important it is. Well, all brevity aside, there's just under 700 scriptures in the New Testament, the Old and the New Testament, that are direct references to water or waters or watering or watereth. It begins in Genesis when it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void, and the Spirit of the Lord was over the face of the waters. And it moved from there, because by the second day, the fourth day, God is dealing with water, separating the heaven and the earth, the waters above and below, separating the land from the water, calling it a sea. And then, of course, we know that the Bible ends with water. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yields her fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And he said, blessed are those that do his commandments, that may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city. He said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears come. Let him who is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You get this picture in Revelation, and I picture it both present and future. Present as the church age, that I have the right to enter in that glorious city where there is not any evil lurking, and that nothing evil can penetrate in. And yet we know it's future, where the tree of life sustains us. It's life sustaining. So we read all through the Bible where water, from beginning to end, God uses as a sustaining element in the life of the earth and of his people. We're going to continue our study of appropriating faith by faith, the so great salvation that Christ offers each one of us. We're determining whether or not it's not only judicial. I don't believe there's anybody in this auditorium would argue that Christ's blood was efficacious enough to cover our sin, to cleanse us from our sin, and to allow us entrance into the heaven. The question is can we enjoy experientially the cleansing power of Christ's blood? We know that the very definition of salvation, it used in the New Testament, when it says, behold, you'll call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins, that is the present experience of God's power to deliver from the power of sin. And so, can we enjoy it? Can we appropriate it by faith? And then we have the great privilege of sharing this so great salvation. So we talked about in the very beginning the privilege we have of fulfilling our destiny. Luke told us to launch out, that we had a commission to share something with a lost and dying world. And then we talked about, well, then if we're going to launch out, are we able to do that? Are we able ministers of the New Testament? And Acts 2:38 gave us the pattern when Christ in the very beginning, Brother and Ricky talks about the very first covenant, and then the second covenant, and then the last covenant, that there's a pattern to what Christ would have us to do. And Peter iterated that pattern when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is a pattern that we're to share with a lost and dying world. We received it, we should give it. And then last week we talked about salvation then as a deliverance from that sin, when the Bible talks about the difference between eternal life and salvation. We know that we have eternal life. We had eternal life when we believe. Romans tells us that he who hears, believes, confesses with his mouth, believes in his heart that Christ has died and raised from the dead, will be saved. In other words, delivered. In other words, we have eternal life. So we have that for sure, and we can know that because the Spirit within, from without and from within, convinces us of the security of the believer. But is there something more that we have now as Christians? Is the blood of Christ efficacious enough to that we can know that we know. Just as we know that we have been redeemed, can we know that we can live in the cleansing power of Christ's blood, to know that we need not sin. And so this morning we're going to talk about baptism as the means. He says, repent and be baptized. In Romans it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If we had time to go back to chapter 5, we would see that we know that sin entered by one man, but that grace abounded, and by the last man, Christ, that grace abounded in our lives. And Paul is saying then, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's an excellent example in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, when he says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also we went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, 8 souls, were saved through water. There also is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me make it clear, I'm not talking about baptism as baptismal regeneration. I'm not talking about that you gain eternal life by being baptized. We're talking about a complete different subject now. You know, there are a few examples in the Bible where people were immediately taken. In most cases, in the Bible, you have a life to live in front of you because we have 13 epistles that Paul wrote that tell you and I how to live. So the idea is that you come to the Lord and then you have a life in front of you to grow in that grace and live accordingly. And so most of us are going to have that privilege to grow in the grace, and people are going to be watching us. Not only do we have to give an answer to our Lord, but others will be watching us. And so there is this lifestyle living. And we read last week where Hebrews 9:14 says, if the blood of bulls and goats can sanctify to the flesh in the old covenant, in other words, it purifies, and it was through obedience it made the amends to the Lord, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? And so we saw that salvation experience can be can be a real experience in your life, and you can, through, as Paul says, that I have a conscience void of offense towards God, then we too can have a conscience void of offense towards God. And moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, as we live our lives and grow in His grace, then we can enjoy what we can appropriate by faith, and that's the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here he gives us an example in Peter when he says that just as the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah during the flood, and we're all aware of this story, and only 8 souls were saved on that ark through the flood. That's the type, and it's a picture of what? He gives us the example now. He says it's the antitype, which now delivers us baptism. It's not the removal, it's not taking a bath, it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. In other words, it's the obedience that we have, it's the obedience that we do that allows us to, much like Abraham, when it was accounted to him for righteousness, when he believed God and enacted on that. When James says that faith without works is dead. Now, We're real reluctant to talk about works in the evangelical community because it smacks of something we have to do. And we know there's nothing we have to do to gain eternal salvation, correct? Nothing. Nothing you can do, nothing you did to earn it, nothing you can do to lose it. But living life is different. When he says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work out that deliverance on a daily basis with fear and trembling because you can step away from walking in that grace. You're not going to lose the eternity that God has promised you, but you can lose the relationship on a daily basis. You can lose that witness of the Spirit. You know, in some circles, they call it the full blessing of Pentecost. In other circles, they call it a holiness. In others, they call it entire sanctification. It doesn't matter to me the label on it. What matters is the witness of the Spirit that I have a conscience void of offense towards my God and King, period. And if you have that conscience void of offense, then how in the world can you be in sin? It's almost an impossibility. It's a contradiction in terms to say that I have a conscience void of offense towards God Almighty and yet I'm living a sinful life. The two doesn't come together. What I'm really talking about is the ability we have to offer something to a world that says we're not really interested in what you have. You know, we talk about miracles and signs and wonders. There is nothing, nothing more miraculous than a changed heart, than seeing a new creation come forth out of something that was old. And it doesn't matter your background. You know, you can you go to an AA meeting and everybody stands up, "Hi, I'm Alan, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm a drug addict, or I'm a sexaholic, or I'm this, or I'm that." Well, each one of us before, just like Paul says, what you were before could stand up and say, "Hi, I'm Alan, I'm a sinner." We could say that because we all were in the same exact situation. It doesn't matter the story behind that because we were born that way. It's the point of whether you were 7, 17, 27, or 77 that says, "Now I'm a saint. Now I'm a saint." Why? Because the efficacious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant that Enrique was talking about. We have accepted that by faith, and we believe that now that it gives us the opportunity to offer to the rest of the world something that is miraculous in its origin and something that I can't manufacture or you can either. It comes from the Spirit of the living God. And so baptism is not something that you go, "Well, why would you not want to do it?" If he says repent, in other words, you're going to convince yourself to turn this way, it's not a matter of just getting caught in a sin. It's a matter of having remorse for you know that you're a sinner. That's what it amounts to. And so now you're willing to turn from that. And when you do, God promises remission of sins, that he'll lift that weight off your shoulder. And he not only requests, he requires that we follow him in baptism. Now, we have for the longest time used that as one of the symbolic ordinances of the church, much like our Lord's Supper. And I'm convinced that it never was, never is, never will be purely a symbol, that it was one of the most profoundest things God ever asked us to do. And it was a completion of the obedience of an inward change in my life, and that a divine committal takes place between God and me. A transaction takes place when I'm obedient to God. My life changed when I was baptized. My life changed. Lois and I had the rockiest of roads leading up to that. She had already been saved, but not living the life. I received the Lord as my Savior. Together we got baptized. And from that point up, when we came out of the water, we were new creations. And we have not looked back since. We received because the pastor that baptized us believed what the Scripture said. Repent and be baptized. You will receive remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, which we'll talk about next week, is not a manifestation of something that we can, that we need to share all kinds of tales and stories in here. What that does for you and I is enable us to live who Christ said that he gave us the ability to become. You will become witnesses to me. Not you will hop over chairs. Not you will lay on the floor. Not you will laugh. None of those kind of manifestations. I'm not here to talk about those. What I'm here to talk about, I don't care what language you talk in. Trust me, I don't care. What I care is, do you carry the language to your neighbor? To your co-workers? Do you care enough about a lost day? Because the witness of the Spirit, Jesus came to die for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the witness of the Spirit is that when he comes in me, the love of the Holy Ghost comes through to my neighbor. Period. If that's absent, then all we're seeking again is we're just an adulterous generation, just like Jesus said. All we want is just a sign. We just want the miracles. We just want the loaves. We just want to get fed. We just want all that. When the Spirit really comes on us, we know that he's given us an assignment. Romans says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him. Through a spiritual transaction, we're buried with Christ just as he was 2,000 years ago. He died on Calvary, shed his blood, put in a tomb, and we're there with him. We were there with him. When he was raised on that third day, we were raised with him as a new creation. Even so, that we might have the ability to walk in newness of life and the power of the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. There is no dualistic nature in man, period. You're either the old nature or you're then the new nature, period. Not one or the other. And I submit to you that if we change the method, then we change the meaning. And if Satan can't get us to believe an outright lie, he will attempt to compromise the truth. The truth is that all through the Bible, from the beginning of Matthew, when Jesus was baptized by John, it was by immersion. The Bible teaches immersion. And so we want to be careful. We want to pass on what the Bible says. We want to be in truth of the Bible. Why? Because I believe it has a spiritual application, just as the Lord's Supper said. I've said it before, that it's the only scripture in the New Testament when he says, if you do this and you do it amiss, that's why many of you are sick and dying. Now that's serious business. Serious. He doesn't say that about adultery. He doesn't say it about spending your money unwisely. He talks about misusing the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's serious business. So why wouldn't we encourage people to repent of their sins, be baptized, receive that remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? I just want to encourage us to know that our faith is real, that it can be experiential every moment of every day. We can grow in the grace that allows us for the Spirit to work in us and through us. We haven't reached a point where God doesn't want to use his church, that he can do it without us. And in fact, I don't think he will do it without us. People's souls depend on whether or not we will participate in the commission that he's given us. When he says, go ye therefore, in Matthew 28, really it's translated, as you go. So you don't really have to go to Africa, and you don't have to go to the north side of San Antonio. We have a neighborhood. We have stores. We have places we go right here. As you go, family, that's exactly right. As you go, disciple all nations, teaching them whatsoever I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What a privilege we have to teach and preach the full gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And we're a living testimony, just as Paul told the Corinthians that you're our witness, you're our epistle written in your hearts, not in word. And so God, we are the living epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you're in Christ. If you don't know Christ, I invite you today to come. Settle that issue once and for all. And then what a beautiful day to be baptized. Supposed to be in the 70s today. Let's do that today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's not relegate one of the most profoundest ordinances in the Bible to mere symbolism. Let's let God do His work in and through us as we share the full gospel to those that we love. Let's pray together. Father, again, we're grateful for the privilege you've granted us to come together. Father, we proclaim our love to you today. Lord, I ask you that if there be one soul in this auditorium that is not sure, Father, may today, may now this hour be the time. It's the accepted time to settle that issue. Life-changing issues. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you for the work that you do. We know, Lord, that you don't promise us our next breath of air, much less the afternoon or tomorrow. So, Father, we thank you for these who are here. Father, you say, we're sure. Then, Lord, we pray that through, by faith, we'll appropriate and enjoy the experiential knowledge of knowing that we are indeed free from sin. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.